is Mark Twain Speaks. Kindly listen as Mark Twain performer Don McNeil brings the wit and wisdom of America's favorite humorist to life. Everyone is welcome, and cigar smoking is encouraged.
I left off last time talking about jackass rabbits. Now, how did that happen? Oh, yes, I was talking about guns. And somehow that led to a less than scholarly discussion about killing the innocent rabbits who had the misfortune of living near train tracks. I have a knack for insulting innocent bystanders, and the train conductors were described as notoriously bad marksmen. I can't explain that, but I know it to be the truth. I am in receipt of a letter from a listener named Annette, who asked me to speak about something inspirational, something uplifting. Thank you for that suggestion and for the kind letter. Even though you didn't have a proper address, the post office delivered your letter addressed Mark Twain somewhere in hell. Perhaps I could talk about writers who have inspired me. That would be a long list. Of course, Dana and Kipling are always near the top for me. Kipling was nothing short of brilliant. He and I were perhaps the most remarkable men of our era. He knew everything that could be known, and I knew the rest. I must say that nothing made me happier than being left alone when the family visited relatives. Imagine my delight, left alone in a house with almost 1,000 books. Even when alone, I refrained from smoking in the library. When Libby returned home, she could always tell if I'd been smoking. She would give me a tongue lashing. That always delighted the children. Susie referred to this as Mama tamping down Papa. Now, I know that parents are not supposed to have a favorite child. We fight against that with all we have in us. I recall that Charles Dickens stated publicly that David Copperfield was his favorite character and his favorite book. I see nothing wrong with that. Let's get back to children. Susie was my favorite. I believe my other daughters, Clara and Jean, were painfully aware of that fact. Livy reminded me often to treat the girls as if I loved them equally. Sometimes I failed and revealed my true feelings. Now, Katie Leary worked for us for 30 years and always maintained that I treated the children equally. Katie once wrote that Mark Twain was a very affectionate father. That is high praise indeed. Patrick McAleer, who worked for us in Buffalo, wrote about me. As the children grew up, he was their guide. He was all honor, honesty, and affection. My idea of a perfect gentleman. I swear to you that Mr. McAleer actually wrote those words. I didn't make that up. Although I would have been glad to make it up if given the opportunity. I remember as though it were yesterday when Libby told me that she had found Susie's diary. I was allowed to read it. Nothing ever touched my heart like reading Susie's diary. Kindly allow me to read her words. Susie. Papa's appearance has been described many times, but very incorrectly. He has beautiful gray hair, not any too thick or any too long, but just right. A Roman nose which greatly improves the beauty of his features, kind blue eyes, and a small mustache. He has a wonderfully shaped head and profile. He has a very good figure. In short, he is an extraordinarily fine-looking man. All his features are perfect, except that he hasn't extraordinary teeth. His complexion is very fair, and he doesn't wear a beard. He is a very good man and a very funny one. He has got a temper, but all of us have in this family. He is the loveliest man I ever saw or ever hope to see. And oh, so absent-minded. He does tell perfectly delightful stories. Clara and I used to sit on each arm of his chair and listen while he told us stories about the pictures on the wall. Papa's favorite game is billiards. And when he is tired and wishes to rest himself, he stays up all night and plays billiards. It seems to rest his head. He smokes a great deal, almost incessantly. He has the mind of an author, exactly. Some of the simplest things he can't understand. Papa has a peculiar gait that we like. It seems to suit him, but most people do not. He always walks up and down the room while thinking in between each course at meals. Papa is very fond of animals, particularly of cats. We had a dear little gray kitten once that he named Lazy. Papa always wears gray to match his hair and eyes, and he would carry Lazy around on his shoulder. It was a mighty pretty sight, the gray cat sound asleep against Papa's coat and hair. The names that he has given our different cats are really remarkably funny. They are, namely, Stray Cat, Abner, Motley, Fräulein, Lazy, Buffalo Bill, Soapy Cell, Cleveland, Sour Mash, and finally, Pestilence and Famine. Papa said the other day, "I am a mugwump, and a mugwump is pure from the marrow out." Papa knows that I am writing this biography of him, and he said this for it. He doesn't like to go to church at all. Why, I never understood until just now. He told us the other day that he couldn't bear to hear anyone talk but himself, and that he could listen to himself talk for hours without getting tired. Of course, he said this in joke, but I have no doubt it was founded on truth. Now let me interrupt Susie's diary to say to you that I've been asked many times, who were the editors of Huckleberry Finn? And some have conjectured it was Mr. Webster and several others. Susie's diary reveals the truth. I'll continue with Susie's diary, and you'll learn who was the editor of Huckleberry Finn. Ever since Papa and Mama were married, Papa has written his books and then taken them to Mama in manuscript, and she has expurgated them. Papa read Huckleberry Finn to us in manuscript just before it came out, and then he would leave parts of it with Mama to expurgate while he went off to the study to work. And sometimes Clara and I would be sitting with Mama while she was looking the manuscript over, and I remember so well with what pangs of regret we used to see her turn down the leaves of the pages, which meant that some delightfully terrible part must be scratched out. And I remember one part particularly, which was purposely fascinating. It was so terrible that Clara and I used to delight in, and oh, with what despair we saw Mama turn down the leaf on which it was written. We thought the book would almost be ruined without it. But eventually, we came to think just as Mama did. That ends my reading of Susie's diary for today. But now you know, against all other versions, that it was Livy who edited Huckleberry Finn. No one else could have done it with the honesty that she did. I hope that this was inspirational enough. It's my hope that other parents will do their best not to reveal which child is their favorite. It's too late for me. I have been exposed. There is no going back. Susie is my favorite.